Good morning, and welcome to Lopes on Movies. I am Connor Lopes, and, well, I'm solo this week. I did this one other time before, but, no one else was available, so I'm doing it on my own, which is fine, because I've seen a bunch of things that, the other guys haven't seen anyway. So we'll do a little movie catch-up. So we also didn't do a show last week, and mostly because I was not here. I was over in on vacation to Puerto Rico, which is very nice. Puerto Rico is extremely beautiful. I would recommend it to anybody. It's a very accessible country. You can pretty much get around the entire country just by car, and you could do it fairly easily. We drove around quite a bit, my girlfriend and I, and it's very easy. All the people speak English. I would have me and my broken Spanish trying to communicate we're ordering something, which was kind of silly because I can only get by with like the first couple of words, and then when they start speaking Spanish, thinking I might speak Spanish, and then I have to immediately go to English anyway because I can't actually keep the conversation going, which is a shame. But so that would happen. I would recommend going to Old San Juan. I think people usually do that when they go there. One place that I really thought was great was the cigar house that's there. If you like cigars, you got an amazing selection of great humidor. You go back there and there's, I don't know, millions of cigars, all different types, and they'll help you. They're all very friendly. I even got to talk to the owner and their friends, and I tried to talk to them. With barely knowing any Spanish. So I'm going, "Hablo usted inglés?" And then they're like, "Yeah, of course," because everybody speaks English there. Like, "Of course I do." And I had a nice little conversation. I was wearing my Mets hat, to talk about baseball. I love baseball there. And they convinced me to buy some more cigars. So it worked out beautifully for them also. So highly recommend Puerto Rico. How about we get into some movies instead? So I did see a new movie just the other day, actually. It just came out. It's a new release. It's called Missing. All right, so this one, just read the IMDb description. So it's, after her mother goes missing, a young woman tries to find her home using tools available to her online. So the bit in this one, and it's kind of like a sequel, is the entire movie takes place over digital things. It's all things that are on either her laptop, through voice recordings or videos or security camera footage, or an iWatch or something. So those kind of things. So everything is just kind of what's on the computer screen. So this is like the second kind of movie like this. There was one that came out a few years earlier called Searching, which was pretty good. It was decent. It was very similar to this. This one reminded, it was, a different plot story, but it was the same kind of bit. It's like a mystery thing, it's like a page turner novel where they keep things moving very fast. The story, every scene, the story moves a bit, so you're not bored ever. The gimmick is cool for a while until it just kind of gets old. I felt that for Searching, and I definitely felt that for Missing also, where you're kind of with it, but luckily the story is moving fast enough. The thing with Searching, and I wonder if the same fate is going to have with Missing for me, is that I remember the gimmick where it's all the, it's all the laptop screens or phone or whatever, but I don't remember anything that happened in the movie. The only thing I remember is that one of Joey's favorite actors, John Cho, is the lead. That's it. I know that I think he had a daughter or something that's missing, but I don't remember anything that happened in it. I only remember the gimmick. So I wonder if that's going to happen with Missing too, if I'm just going to remember all the, moving between screens and stuff. And, the thing that's just weird to me after a while with this kind of movie is that, I don't know, it just, a lot of the scenes to move the plot forward kind of feel very forced, where they have to come up with weird reasons why the camera would be on a computer screen. How many people are like have their laptop open and have like Zoom like recording or a Zoom video thing happening, but you're not talking to anybody. Like, how many people are just watching themselves in a screen? Like, nobody, right? Like, but then in this movie, they have to do that. In all these movies, they have to do that because they have to show the person that's on the screen, or else it's kind of silly. Like, you know, I don't know. Or how about an Apple Watch? You have the video on the Apple Watch, so you see the watch moving back and forth as they're walking. You know, stuff like that. I mean, it's, I guess this is like the next, these like the, it's like a, similar to the Blair Witch Project with the found footage movies where they have to do little gimmicks to like make it make sense to have a holding a camera for all sorts of scenes so the plot works. But yeah, that's kind of the extent to this one. The thing with the editors of Searching were the directors of Missing. And I think they had a bit of a COVID delay, which is why the movie didn't come out for, I think Searching came out 5 years ago and this one came out, well, just came out. So that's a bit with that one. I do have to say that an actor that happens to be in a lot of things that I watch, who is Ken Leung, was in Missing. And I don't know if people are familiar with Ken Leung. You probably are familiar with things that he's in, though. He's in a ton of stuff. One of his first roles that I remember is from The Sopranos. He played a guy who was it was when Uncle Junior was in like the, I don't know, he was in like the Nut House or something, and this guy played like a character that had like very big anger problems and everything. He was good in that. He's also played a character named Miles in Lost, if you remember Lost. It was quite the show. He was in many episodes, but again, I barely remember anything he did in the show, just that he was kind of goofy in the show, and it was Lost, so that was it. He was also in Old. I remember him being hilarious in Old, the M. Night Shyamalan movie. Thought that one I remember being fun. He was in Star Wars. He was in all these stuff. He just pops up in all these things now. It's funny. He's just one of those actors. The other thing I remember him being in that was one of those first movies was in X-Men: The Last Stand, which is notoriously one of the worst X-Men movies, might be the worst, where he played the porcupine guy, where like spikes would come out of him or something. Yeah, that's him. But moving right along to keep on theme with this guy from Lost. Yeah, that's the biggest thing he was on, I guess. We have another character from Lost that was in a big TV show that I actually watched this year that made quite the noise. I think, I'll just get into it. It's The Dropout. The Dropout, starring Amanda Seyfried. Is that how we say her name? Amanda Seyfried? I think that's right. Amanda Seyfried, but the other star of the show was Naveen Andrews. Naveen Andrews was another character in Lost. He played Saeed. So he was in that. So The Dropout is a TV series that chronicles the Theranos founder Elizabeth Holmes' attempt to revolutionize the healthcare industry by dropping out of college and starting a technology company. I think the other bit is that the technology company she's starting is for like blood testing, and all it would what she's assuming that her technology is going to be able to do is to take just a drop of blood, and from that drop of blood, you'll be able to test people for all sorts of different diseases and illnesses across the board. The thing is, though, the technology never gets figured out, but she still pushes forward to the point where they actually get these things into a couple of retail stores. I think Walgreens and Safeway, I think, are two of the big ones, or at least that's one of the ones in the show. And it doesn't work. What do you know? And a lot of people got like very bad false test results, but she just kept pushing forward with that. And then, so a very interesting character. This is also very recent in the news because the real Elizabeth Holmes and the actor, or the character that Naveen Andrews plays, who is Sunny, her accomplice, Sunny Balwani, who is like the CFO of this Theranos company that they kind of worked together for. They both went to jail and got sentenced very recently. Well, I guess they're going to jail. They got sentenced recently, and they're in trouble for this. It's one of those things where I wouldn't really feel bad for people that basically just scammed a bunch of venture capital people who are rich people who are clearly just driven by greed to and giving money because they're just trying to become rich, like which is what Elizabeth Holmes was trying to do, I'm sure. But the thing that's dirty and what's horrible about this is that the work that they were doing was actively hurting people with fake test results and everything. So that's the reason why the comeuppance they get is good. The show is good. There's a lot of characters that kind of pop up to do like certain things like that to move the plot along. I don't think the characters are super fleshed out that much. Amanda Seyfried is good in this. Naveen Andrews is pretty good too. I think what's hilarious with him is it's just his character is so calm when he's talking to Amanda Seyfried. And like when their weird relationship that they have, but then when he's like working with all the people at the Theranos company, he's screaming F-bombs and he's screaming all these curses. And for some reason, it's just funny to me how over the top, like angry he is all the time. Yeah, but there's a lot of big actors in this too. William H. Macy is in this. Who else? And Laurie Metcalf is in this. Like there's a Bill Irwin. There's a lot of big actors all across the board in this one. It's decent. You know, the thing that I like about you know, some of these TV shows that are coming out now is that or what they call, I guess they call them miniseries, is that there's an established like beginning and end to them, you know, so we know where, you know, there's only going to be one season, or they know there's only going to be two seasons, so they have a resolution, which unlike that show like Lost, which, you know, we all should have seen it coming, where they just kind of are making it up as they go along and then never plan to resolve anything. And then you just end up watching something for 8 years and then you're like, that's how it ends. And then it's like this crummy ending that you just wonder what you would have invested all this time for. And nowadays you have the other kicker, which is that a show could be on for a year or two, never have an ending, and then Netflix or Hulu or all these different Peacock, whatever name your streaming service, will just look at the data, see that the show is not doing well enough, and then it'll just cancel it, and then you'll never have any resolution. So what did you put all this time into watching the show for? So I'm not the biggest fan of TV for that reason. It's you know, there's some good shows that come out of it. Better Call Saul was good, obviously, you know the spinoff from Breaking Bad. The Sopranos is a great one from before, but just a TV, I just can't do it, which is why we got movies. Okay, so moving right along. Let's see. So another movie I saw this year was Broker. Broker is a Korean film that, let's read the IMDb description. So it's boxes are left out for people to anonymously drop off their unwanted babies. So that's not a very descriptive description, but basically what's a situation that's happening in Korea that's fairly-ish common, as a problem, is that young mothers are having babies that they can't care for or aren't able to, and they'd have to find a place to bring them, and they don't. So what's happening in this movie is they're dropping them off at a church, and it's like a baby box is what they call it, and the babies are being left there, and then, you know, hopefully the church will just find a place for these babies. So what's happening in this movie is Song Kang-ho, who is, you know, a famous actor from Parasite, he was the lead in Parasite, you know, probably biggest actor from Korea, I would say. He also won the Best Actor Award at the Cannes Film Festival in 2022 for this performance. He plays a guy who's working at the church, who is taking some of these babies that are getting dropped off, deleting the footage that's taken from the cameras, and then he is brokering the babies and trying to sell them illegally to other families who are looking for babies in Korea, like young families. And they're selling them for price. So they're brokers. They are human trafficking. But even though they do have good intentions, like they're trying to find people that are like the suitable parents, but they are trying to make a profit on it too. And this also goes into the similar things that happen in Korean films, which is the disparity of the rich and the poor, and then like the how it's so difficult to make, you know, to get from that like poor class to like the like upper class. And obviously all these characters are fairly poor that we're following, and they have to come up with ways, and the way that they're doing it is by, you know, selling these babies. So Song's character that's a weird way to say it, but I guess partners with the mother of this this baby that they're looking to broker off to another family, a buyer, who is a very famous Korean star. It's not being marketed that way in foreign countries, but in Korea, she's very well known. She is Lee Ji-yoon, and she is probably best known as IU. She's a Korean K-pop singer, and it's not unrealistic to say she's the Taylor Swift of Korea. And she's a self-made star, essentially, coming from someone who is extremely poor to go all the way to the top, and she's beloved in Korea. Like, basically, everyone listens to her music, and now this is kind of her first real crack at acting, and it's, it's a real performance. It's not like what Taylor Swift did, where she showed up in that David O. Russell film for, like, 2 seconds, and they're acting like this is her acting debut. This is a real, like, strong performance from IU. So, I had no idea that she was a K-pop star before watching the movie. She was just a really good actress. Yeah, so she does a great job. But the movie is good. It's sad. It's melancholy. It goes through all these different phases. It's making a point of how there's this problem in Korea that needs to be looked at. And like, you, one thing too, that you also get the perspective from like the police who are on to Song and his accomplice in this one right from the beginning, because they know that they're doing this and they're following them and they're looking to catch them. And you know that right from the beginning, within like the first, 10 or 20 minutes of the film, that they're watching them and like they know what they're doing and they're trying to catch them, even though they know that they're sort of doing good, because this is a problem that trying to find a home for these babies. And then you also see like an orphanage that's really not that great, and you see some younger kids that are really hoping that they could get adopted one day, but they're getting too old. It's a really it's one of those profound movies that does make you feel something after you watch it. So I would definitely recommend that one. Okay, let's keep going here. And another movie that's profound and can make you feel something, and it's kind of gotten some mixed reviews there, is The Whale. So everybody's talking about this one primarily for Brendan Fraser's performance on this one. So this one's description is, a reclusive, morbidly obese English teacher attempts to reconnect with his estranged teenage daughter. So The Whale, it's directed by Darren Aronofsky, who's made many films. Probably the best one is The Black Swan. That's probably the one that people remember the most, I think. That is the one, right? I believe that's it. Oh, is that? Did he do it? Yeah, yes, Black Swan. Yeah, of course, Black Swan. And then he did Mother. That was another one. That was the one with, what's her name? Jennifer Lawrence. Yeah, of course. So he's done some kind of like weird out there movies, and this one is pretty much no different. In the first, like, I don't even want to say, it might be within the first 5 minutes of the movie, you get a very crazy scene that's gonna, like, that kind of hits you right in the face right away, of like getting you like the whiplash that you're gonna feel like right away of with Brendan Fraser's character. This morbidly obese man, how do you say this? Pleasuring himself to some gay porn, and that's in the first 10 minutes of the film. I feel like it's good to like let people know that that's at the beginning, because otherwise, If you're not ready for that kind of thing, you're not going to, you're going to have to know that this is going to be a very intense movie that the whole way through. So then you're kind of, when you start from there to go for the rest of the movie where you're kind of watching this really sad character who just really wants to, you know, get back in touch with his daughter to, you know, have some kind of relationship with her. It's so sad to watch him, but it's a great performance of Brendan Fraser. I'd say the plot's a little thin in just that there's not a ton going on. You kind of get it like after a while, like pretty easily, but the performance is just really strong, and I think the ending is good. I think there's a little bit of like kind of half-baked religion angle that's in there, of like criticism of religion in there, which is not new for Darren Aronofsky. I'm pretty sure that's what Mother was also. I'm pretty sure Mother was like an allegory for, multiple books of the Bible, I think. So it's good though, just for the performance itself. And I'm sure Brendan Fraser is going to win, you know, all sorts of awards for that performance. So that's The Whale. So yeah, I'd recommend that one too. So how about we just go into let's go into some movie trailers now. How about we just close it out with just some of the movies that are coming out like fairly soon. So let's see, we have 80 for Brady. Can't wait for that one. That's the movie with all of these very old actresses that are, you know, all good friends that are looking to, I guess, go to the Super Bowl, and all the crazy antics that they go through to go to the game and then meet Tom Brady, which apparently they do. I don't know. I'm going to see it. It's fun. I think I remember like the last time I did a solo episode, Tom Brady announced his retirement, and I was all sad because he was going to be retired, and now, you know, he came back and played, and I mean, they were okay. They weren't that good of a team. I think it ended up coming out that he pretty much never had a plan to retire. It was just kind of going to be like a long, like, there was a plan. I think he wanted to go to Miami to be a player owner with Sean Payton, and then there was all the controversy that happened with the Dolphins, and then that kind of stopped. And the Dolphins ownership, I think, with, you know, firing their coach, Brian Flores, and then it just kind of it was just not a good look. So he ended up going back to the Bucs, and then that kind of changed things. But we'll see where Brady ends up next year. Obviously, he had his marriage difficulties, which changed things too. Okay, enough of that. Knock at the Cabin is the new M. Night Shyamalan movie that's coming out. It's where, you know, all these folks show up at this family that is just on a vacation, and they tell them that they have to make a big decision that's going to affect the rest of the world, which I'm sure is going to be some kind of like play on the old story where if you're a parent and you have to decide if you're going, your kid has some kind of special type of blood that you need to drain all the blood from the kid in order to save like a million people. And that's the choice you have to make. I think it's some kind of play on that. That this movie is about. But, you know, this is an M. Night movie. M. Night always has these gimmick kind of movies that happen. I'm going to see it. It's going to be great, for sure. Well, great. I mean, you know, it's going to be probably silly with some goofy dialogue, because that's what we get for M. Night Shyamalan. But it's good to have him back making some silly movies. Let's see. There's a movie I saw a trailer for called Inside. It's a movie with Willem Dafoe where he's like an art thief, where he breaks into an apartment and then gets locked in, and then he's forced to, I guess he's just locked in there for, I don't know, months, years. I don't know how long, but he goes crazy inside there. So I'm hoping that one's going to be some fun, you know, crazy Willem Dafoe stuff that we can see. You know, I always think back to, you know, all the crazy Willem Dafoe, you know, performances that, you know, I'm hoping that one's going to be good, but let's see if he can just do it on his own. I think that one will be fairly interesting. So let's see, maybe close this out. All right, I'll talk with one more that's coming out, later this year. It's that Super Mario Bros. Movie. I am not excited for this one at all. It's pandering. They have voices for Mario and all the characters. Like, why can't they just use the actual voice actors instead of bringing in whatever his name is, Chris Evans? Is that the one that they're using? Like, why? He doesn't sound like Mario. We want to hear the real voice. We don't want to hear this guy. And I can tell from the trailers that Mario isn't like a cool character like he is in like so many of the other things. He's like a revered guy. He should be somebody that everybody knows who Mario is. You don't have to introduce us to him. He should be someone that's revered. I don't know if people remember or played the video game Paper Mario from forever ago, but you've listened, and this is something I talked to with Joey about. Everybody, when you're playing that game and you go into a town, everybody reveres Mario and they know how cool he is. They know how he's the best. He's like a celebrity everywhere, and that's the way it should be. That would be a better like way to treat Mario, as someone who's cool, not someone who's like hapless and dopey like what they're showing in this one. That needs to be like, even though he's the one who's should be saving the day, he's like kind of needs to be like helped along the way. I don't know. It doesn't look like my Mario. It doesn't look like the one that I want to see. But yeah, I think that'll pretty much do it. I talked about a bunch of stuff. Thanks for hanging in there with me. You know, I didn't really have any script or plan for this one, so I just kind of rambled on about a bunch of stuff. We'll be back next week, and we'll talk about a movie in a group. Some new movies, and we're getting towards award season, so that could be good too. And we'll talk about those, and we'll try to see all those Oscar nominated movies too. So have a great morning and great rest of your day, and we'll talk to you next week.